gorgeous listeners. So glad to be back with y'all for this next edition of Throwing Shade after a bit of a brief summer hiatus, we'll call it, right? Sure. Hey, Alan.
Hi.
How's it going?
Baruch Hashem.
Baruch Hashem. That means we're ready to dive in. It's going to be great. Okay. cool. So excited to be coming back in, especially because I understand we are going to be doing some chicken feet today.
That's right.
Yeah.
This is the one that you've been waiting for.
It is. It is. They're all the one I've been waiting for.
Yay.
Oh, but let's do this one because chicken feet.
Yes. I know you're excited about the fact that Shadim, all Shadim, have feet that are the same as chicken's feet. Right?
I feel as though I'm being set up.
No, you've told me this before.
I do. I love the chicken feet thing. And so tell me more. What are we going to be diving into?
Well, a few things. First of all, there's a lot of really interesting things about that. One is that Shadim have, first of all, there are, as we've discussed, many different kinds of Shadim.
Mm-hmm.
They all have chicken feet.
Okay.
And they cannot change the form of their feet. So in other words, we've also talked about different forms that Shadim can take.
Yeah.
No matter what form the rest of their body takes.
Always with the chicken feet.
Correct.
Okay.
So we're going to talk
about... Telltale sign. Folks, if you are on a terrible date, look under the table. Drop something accidentally. Oops.
Well, that's going to actually come up.
Casually pull the sock aside. Sorry, that went way too far. I'm really not creepy. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. And yet you host a podcast about Shadim.
Yes, and not about psychoanalyzing me.
Okay.
Tellingly. Anyway.
Anyway.
Yes. Okay, so.
Yeah, so we've talked a little bit about in a way early podcast episode about the Gemara in Maseches Brachos on Daf Vav.
Mm-hmm.
Tractate Brachot, page 6.
Yes, Brachot Blessings, page 6. Excellent.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Where it says explicitly that the feet of Shadim are in the form of the feet of a chicken.
Chicken.
Tarnagol. Right?
Tarnagol.
Yeah.
Which is just a great sounding word.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's a story not too dissimilar to the one you said about being on a terrible date in Gemara in Maseches Gittin.
I knew that.
Which we also mentioned in another previous episode.
Mm-hmm.
You may remember the story about Ashmedai, the king of the Shadim, and Shlomo HaMelech.
Yes. And Solomon, King Solomon, yeah.
Right, and how Ashmedai takes the form of Shlomo for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
We never really went too far in depth into that story. We could do
right,
that.
Right, we just took a slice of it, yeah.
Right, but one detail that we did discuss is at a certain point, the king of the Shadim, Ashmedai, who is in the form at this point in the story, he's in the form of Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon, is asked to show his feet.
Right.
Because even the king of the Shadim can't change the form of his feet. It's going to look like a chicken's feet.
Yeah.
Okay. So so very strong proofs there for
feet argument.
How we opened this episode, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But wait.
Actually, no, not but wait. The question we're going to answer now is, this is a pretty hard and fast rule, actually.
Hmm.
The question we're going to answer now is a question that's brought by the Maharam Rotenberg. He's a very influential person, especially a Jewish thinker, especially with regard to customs of the Ashkenazim and that sort of thing.
I've literally never heard of this person, but that's great.
Okay.
Very famous in a very small group of people. Yeah.
Right. Like Stereocyanide.
Yeah, precisely.
Yes. And he asks the question, why is it this way? Why
did such a good question.
Right.
That is precisely the question that I have.
So I think you'll dig this answer.
Yeah.
He says like this, that Hashem, we also remember this medrash that Hashem was creating the Shadim, at least one kind of the Shadim, on, you know, Erev Shabbos of the first 6 days of creation.
Right.
and didn't.
And kind of never finished.
Correct. Well,
it was like, whoops.
Not whoops.
Just kidding.
No, Hashem doesn't do whoops. Let's just make that clear.
And we have a title. Okay.
right.
Just kidding.
Hashem had created their neshamas.
Mm-hmm.
And as twilight on Erev Shabbos, the sixth day, was approaching,
right,
Hashem was, so to speak, creating the shadim from head down.
Oh, seriously?
And when Hashem came, says the Maharam Rotenberg, when Hashem came to their feet, he went
to the foot closet.
He didn't want to break Shabbos. It says Lo Ratza L'Chalal Shabbos.
Uh-huh.
Bara Lehem Raglaim Shel Tarnagol. Hashem was, so to speak, not wanting to be creating on Shabbos.
Oh, so he gave them something that was already made.
Correct.
Oh, fascinating. Okay.
And then
that sort of answers the question. I mean, it puts a story on the answer, but it doesn't actually say, like, why of all the feet that God had created.
Uh-huh.
Was God like, yeah, these, totally these?
Well, I don't have an answer for you for that.
Yeah. Well, that's the question I kind of wanted to tackle, but it's okay. I'll live with it.
What question do you have an answer for? go with it, because after the break, I want to talk about what that means practically, that shadim have feet of chickens.
Okay.
In the form of chicken feet.
Let's do it. So okay. We'll take a break.
Yeah.
And then we'll get into more about the chicken feet. Okay. Alan, I'm ready to hear the pitter patter of little chicken feet. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay.
Do the thing.
So you asked me before which questions I do have to answer for you.
Yes. What question do I actually have?
Right.
Yeah.
So the Ben Yehoyada,
mm-hmm.
who we've discussed previously as well.
Yeah, frequent character.
Say that again?
Frequent character. Shows up a lot.
Oh, yeah, sure. So he's a
reliable kind of guy.
He's from the Iraq area, what's now Iraq. And mm-hmm. And he has, it's a very big part of his milieu, where and when he was and all that stuff. So mm-hmm. he's got what to say about it.
Yeah.
He has a bunch of really interesting questions about the chicken feet thing.
Mm-hmm.
The one we'll start with is why, if shadim are able to change their entire appearance, why is the exception their chicken feet? They can't change their chicken feet.
Oh, I have that question too.
I thought you would.
Thank you, Ben Yehoyada.
All right.
I dig.
So his answer is that the bottom of the foot
mm-hmm.
of the shadim
mm-hmm.
is touching actual dirt, like actual earth,
mm-hmm.
which is fascinating and interesting, because remember, we spent a lot of time on this podcast talking about how shadim themselves are not actual physical things.
Right.
Right. But their feet touch the actual physical earth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the power of the tumah, what is often erroneously translated as impurity.
Right.
Or uncleanness.
Right.
Which is even a worse translation.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the power of their tumah of the shade is strongest at that point, at the point of the bottom of their foot, their actual feet, mm-hmm. which touch the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fascinating on a number of levels. I think it's worth discussing basically what this is saying is that, and this is the Ben Yehoyada says this, that they can't change their feet because of how earthy it is, how physical.
Hmm.
Literally, the tuma, which is here in the physical universe, is too powerful, almost.
Hmm.
And in other words, to say that, like, they can't... it's the part of their body that touches the actual physical earth, and they are non-physical beings, which is what gives them power to change their form. Mm-hmm. We, being physical beings, can't just change whatever shape we are.
Right.
Because says the Ben Yehoyada, we are in contact with the physical universe.
Okay.
You follow?
Okay, so that follows, yeah.
But Shadim do touch the physical universe at their feet.
Right.
And that's why they can't change them.
Right.
Okay? And then he says, Shalachin, and then this is and this is what Ben Yehoyada continues to say, Minhagenu, it is our custom, again, where he was and when he was. I don't know if this is still the case among people who are descended from that place. Mm-hmm. I've said this before on this podcast. I'm not an expert in the Edot Mizrach and the Sephardi traditions around Shadim and that whole and Kabbalah and all that stuff. I know a little bit here and there. Hopefully, God willing, soon we'll have a guest on the podcast to say a thing or two about that. But this is what the Ben Yehoyada writes. He says, it is our custom to create a protection for a mother who has given birth 6 days, I'm sorry, 6 nights, on the sixth night after she has given birth from Shadim. This is what they do. This is their custom. What they do is they put in the room of the mother a stake or like a skewer that's made of iron.
Ooh.
And they put on the skewer a chicken foot.
Okay.
That
was really menacing until like you got to the chicken foot.
They do. They stick a chicken foot on the skewer.
Mm-hmm.
Or this is what they did. I don't know if they still do, like I said.
Yeah.
And it says Vashar Minim and other things. It doesn't clarify. But a chicken foot and other things. In order to make the Shadim afraid. And that so that they would understand Shigavarnu Alehem Vaharagnu Hashed. And that we have we have defeated and killed the shade. So in other words, like putting somebody's
putting a head on your wall. Correct. Like a hunter putting a deer's head or like
That's right. So we put a chicken foot on the they put a chicken foot on an iron stake in the room of the mother who has given birth 6 nights earlier or 6 days or the sixth night after she has given birth, to be more specific.
Okay.
To protect the mother and presumably also the child, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, why not?
With this iron stake.
Right.
And.
Okay. I cannot express how much I love that. And corollary to that, merch.
What? Okay.
Just kidding. We'll talk later. Not just kidding. Only sort of. That's bizarre and amazing. So it's really this like. You better watch yourself kind of sign to the demons because like we've got legit demon slayers in this house.
Yeah.
So don't you mess with this woman and her baby.
Correct.
I kind of dig that.
Right.
Hmm. Okay.
There is also, I mean, this is separate from the Sefer that we're learning currently. It's not in here right now. It's not in the Ben Yehoyada that I'm aware of, but there is also, test that comes down for if you want to know if there are Shadim around you.
Oh, yeah. We've talked about haven't we brought this up before? Correct. Where you sort of put like ash or dust kind of around the place that you want to protect. And then if there's
the bed.
Yeah, correct. Around the bed. And then if there's
you wake up in the morning and there's chicken feet
around it, then
footprints, not the actual feet themselves.
Not the actual feet in this case. Well, unless the demon has been vanquished and slaughtered and you know, you just like leave their bloody remains all around. then wow. You know, it's a, well, this is where my head is going now. So, wow. Okay. That's interesting. So I think there's, so that's interesting. Then like when you slay a demon, then that physical part of it also kind of remains, right? It's not as if it kind of,
The point I was trying to make is that this is also further proof that the Shadim make contact with the dust of the earth and with the actual physical earth in that by their feet.
Right. Yeah. And that they can lose those feet if they try and mess with,
I guess,
you know, whoever. Whoever this you know, new mom is. And yeah.
Right.
That's super cool. All right. Cool. Thanks, Alan.
Yeah. I thought you'd like that one.
I do. So, shade throwers, we got a really interesting question from our listener, Advina, who tweeted us, "Hey, throwing shade, I'm enjoying your podcast so far. Thank you, my dear. And I'm curious about what one of my characters I'm writing would be classified as in Jewish lore. She's a powerful eldritch entity, former human, who has worked for Hashem briefly, but now resides on Earth getting some R&R. So it seems like Advina is just looking for some clarity as to what this...
Does it demon?
What does it demon? This is a does it demon question.
Kind of.
Thank you. Yeah. Yes, it is. Thank you, Advina, for tweeting at us. Amazing. Really interesting question. And also, good luck with your writing. I love that we have so many writers following us who are like culling for sources and finding interesting stuff in Jewish tradition and mythology and culture and all of this kind of stuff. It super rocks. And you guys are awesome. So, Alan, what's your take on this question, and how would you help out our listener?
Yeah, so first of all, thank you again, Advina. This is a really interesting question, like Miriam already said. It's a real challenge for me for a couple of levels. I think, first of all, the question itself needs a lot of unpacking. Hopefully, I'll do a little bit of that. second of all, I do not know what an eldritch entity is. but a cursory search of the internet helped me a little bit. My understanding, and maybe some of our listeners know better than me.
They do.
Yeah, well, for sure they do.
Yeah.
I just said I don't know what it is. But it seems like it's something that is defined by its disregard for the natural laws of the universe.
Yeah, my understanding is that it comes out of a lot of H.P. Lovecraft's work mm-hmm. and Call of Cthulhu kind of stuff. There's a lot of like tentacles involved.
Okay. And maybe
Miriam being helpful.
Right. Yeah. But that, you know, stuff like that, we cannot comprehend what's really going on because we're only humans mm-hmm. and we, you know, our understanding of reality shifts everything about, you know, basically they, yeah.
So basically you're saying that this is a case where like asking this person a clarifying question would have been helpful before we just decided to take it on the air is what you're saying?
Or just ask the internet, which is or what I whatever. Did.
That's true. That's what, yeah. Thank you, Google. Okay.
Yeah. But so I may be answering, that's my caveat, my disclaimer rather.
Yes.
That I may be answering a completely different question, but let's try it.
That's what happened to me today, Advina, was... I thought I came in with a question, and then we had something different. So, and that's okay. That's okay. All right.
The theme for the episode.
Tis, indeed.
Okay, so what does a demon? We already asked that question. Hopefully we'll get to that.
Okay, so let's come back to the question because we've gone a little astray. Okay, so she's a powerful eldritch entity, former human who has worked for Hashem briefly but now resides on Earth, getting some rest and relaxation, well-deserved, I'm sure.
Right. So it seems like there are four parts to this question. Mm-hmm. Let's start with the first one.
Great.
Is there such a thing in Jewish lore as an eldritch entity? Right? So, again, not having a complete understanding of what exactly an eldritch entity is,
yeah,
there are things described in Shemayim, which Shemayim... is
the heavenly realms? Yes.
Well, it's the heavenly realms, but
that which is kind of beyond our comprehension.
Correct. It is that which is beyond our comprehension. It's mm-hmm. the words that we have texts that teach us several in many of the holy books that teach us that the word Shamayim itself is made up of two other words in Hebrew.
Eish and Mayim.
Correct.
Eish is fire and Mayim is water.
Right.
And those aren't usually friends.
Correct.
Except sometimes when they have the same Pokemon trainer.
Okay. Right. Anyway.
We have a six-year-old.
You're trying to get more more listeners that way?
I just have to drop my cultural stuff.
Okay. Sure.
Our kid is into it.
All right.
I like Vulpix. Okay, keep going.
Anyway. right. So the fact that Shamayim is both of these things which are seemingly at odds with each other.
Right.
Can coexist in one thing is mm-hmm. by nature paradoxical to our limited human understanding. Anything that is part of Shamayim is beyond our limited human understanding.
Cool.
So in that sense, there is such a thing as an eldritch entity.
Yeah.
And also in another sense, there are things in Shamayim, as I started to say, which would fall under that category, sort of obviously. We have descriptions of things like, and I'm just going to give you one example. There's a being in Shemayim that has 1,000 heads, and each head has 1,000 tongues, and each tongue sings 1,000 different songs to Hashem in praise. Whoa. And so it's like, it's one of these things that's like, you know, you can't...
be a hell of a ringtone.
Okay.
I think part of the challenge there is that, like, Shemayim is, we sort of mistranslate it as heaven, and we associate it with positive things, and I feel like the Eldritch is not necessarily associated with
positivity. So in that sense,
if anything, at best, it's like chaotic neutral, you know?
Correct. And in that sense, I don't think it passes the test of being an Eldritch. I don't think there is something that I can, certainly not that I can think of in that sense, that would fall under the same category as an Eldritch entity. But in some senses, there is. In some senses, it's different.
Got it. Yes.
Former human. That's the next part of the question.
Yes.
For sure. I mean, we know not
that's
only...
That's a thing.
Yeah, not only are there malachim, who, you know, there's at least one instance of a malach, mm-hmm. who is a former human.
Right.
We also, of course, have learned a little bit about, on this podcast, Lilith, who, a former mm-hmm. human, became a shade.
Wait, so the angel that's the former human is Metatron?
Yes, but we don't say his name.
Oh, my bad.
Matat. Yeah.
That's his rap name.
Sure.
Cool.
Yes, he was Chanuch.
Yes, right. And there's the verse in the Torah, which I don't know the actual...
He didn't die, really. He
right, it says goes, kind of what walked with God
right.
and then was no more or something like that, which basically implies he was kind of scooped up into Shemayim and became something else. So there's all this literature about
right.
for what Chanuch becomes.
Right, for Enoch. More, see the book of Enoch.
The book of Enoch, yes. For more, see. Excellent, yes.
Yes, okay.
All right.
Who has worked for Hashem briefly, but... So I'm going to... take issue with that part of the question.
Are you gonna propose some mild pushback here?
I'm gonna propose some strong pushback here.
Yes, with love.
And this is where, you know, I don't know, some listeners may find this controversial. From my perspective, there is no created being in all of existence
mm-hmm.
that is no longer working for Hashem.
Okay, so. And so in our listeners' defense,
okay.
I think what they are suggesting uh-huh. is that this person was like in the C-suite, you know, was sort of high level staff at one point and is now playing some different role. You know what I mean? Like there.
So
those...
is there like such thing as like a fallen angel or something like that? Is that
no,
what you're asking?
Like I think we all kind of get where you're coming from of like, oh, even our cat sitting over here is like working on behalf of God, you know,
right,
not very hard or in an aesthetically pleasing way, but like not
okay,
whatever.
Okay.
but then there's like the heavenly crew, you know, which has sort of a different role and is
you're talking about like
closer
the cats,
to the,
like the different
yeah,
hierarchy.
Yeah. So I think that's the implication here, if we can read a lot into this tweet that we didn't, you know.
So that's a good question. If that's really what's being asked, then I'll answer it like this. There is hierarchies in...
There are hierarchies mm-hmm.
in both sides, in the side of holiness and the side of the opposite.
Yeah.
However, the question of promotion and demotion in those hierarchies,
yeah.
I think the answer is no. There is,
yeah.
If you're, there isn't like, you know, social mobility.
I think
mobility.
It's just reassignment. It's not, yeah, I don't think it's a hierarchical thing. I think it's just whatever. We can have a bigger conversation about it. Okay, so yes, about the last part? Now on Earth getting some R&R.
Yeah, I'm sure I don't really understand that part of the question then.
Okay, don't worry about it. We'll take it to HR later.
But now resides on Earth getting some R&R.
Yes.
So that's the part that I think needs a lot of unpacking, because the part I'm kind of stuck on is resides, right? Like,
okay.
Is this creature like spending...
Inhabiting a human form.
Right.
And, like, hanging out in Hawaii.
Right, right. If it was formerly human, but then wasn't, and is it, you know, like, what does reside really mean?
Back in its old bod. I don't know. See, part of the challenge is we just don't know the story.
Yeah.
So, and there's a lot of context here that we're missing, but I mean, now that I have this tweet, like, I kind of want to read it.
Yeah, like, well, that's what I was going to say.
I mean, I'm fascinated by the whole thing. I think it sounds awesome. This is a wildly creative listener. Like, I'm really excited about all of that. So how would, knowing all of those pieces, is there a neat category for what we understand of this character?
No.
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 We can't do a does it demon. This always ends badly for me. I really want things to demon and they never do. So we can't say like this would be appropriately categorized as a demon. Is there another term we could potentially propose based on the information that we have?
No, and I'm thinking this was like a really dumb question for us to try to answer. because
already owned up to that.
No, but it was interesting. That's what I like about it. Like you said, this is a really creative listener. My advice is
not to, like, try and categorize
it. Yeah, exactly. Like my instinct, and based on what I've learned, I don't think there is anything like this in any Jewish lore.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that should prevent or be an obstacle in any way for Advina in writing her character.
Totally.
She should create a new one for her book and let it live in the book as a thing, you know.
Yeah.
I think that there are pieces, and I encourage Advina and all of our listeners to learn about those pieces that, you know, we've touched on a little bit here.
Yeah.
I encourage Advina to finish this story so we can read it.
Yeah, I think that's the most important takeaway. But, okay, super cool. So thank you for your awesome question. And thank you for writing and for drawing on cool different sources and using this amazing imaginative creative power that you've been endowed with for good, amazing stuff that's inspiring these conversations and many more. So I think that's awesome. Thank you, listeners, for sending in your questions. We have a whole bunch to get to that we're going to continue to get to, but please feel free to send them in over Twitter. You can also send us voice messages over Anchor if you happen to be an Anchor listener. So we would love to hear your gorgeous voice at some point. That's about it for our listener question. Thanks, Alan, and thanks to our listener for submitting.
Yes, thank you.
Shade Throwers, we're coming to the end of our time, but Alan wanted to pop in with one last closing idea.
Yeah, I was thinking about this Eldritch entity thing, whatever it is. I think part of the idea is that it can manipulate the natural laws in this negative way.
Yeah.
Right? And I just wanted to say that there, of course, is the possibility to manipulate the natural laws.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a creature who can do that. But only with the help of Hashem and with the permission of Hashem.
And that creature is?
A human being.
Ah, Shkayach.
Right? Yeah. I mean, Malachim have to work within whatever...
Angels.
The angels have to work within whatever system Hashem gives them.
Mm-hmm.
And humans, by the power of our free choice, can work together with Hashem to manipulate the natural laws. But we have to be on a very high level. We're talking about tzaddikim here. You know, and they're not going to typically do it for, you know, nefarious means.
Amazing. So. Thank you. Action item for this week. The thing that struck me about this particular conversation that we had was the difference between the questions being answered and the questions being asked. And I think it's really important for us to attune ourselves to that distinction, especially in the crazy media landscape that we live in. And just thinking about how to comport ourselves like mensches in the world, and to think deeply about the questions that we ask and the questions that we're answering and how well they line up. And that's just kind of what struck me about this week. So I would love to challenge our listeners to think about that and know that you are a human that can, in teaming up with God, can literally change the world. And we believe that you can do that. So... Shade throwers. Shade throwers. Have an amazing week. Y'all are beautiful and amazing, and the world needs you. You matter. Thank you for spending a little bit of time with us. This has been Throwing Shade, Better Living Through Jewish Demonology, and we will catch you all next time.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.